Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. And now, here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
And good evening, everybody. Good morning, good night, good afternoon, good wherever in the world you are. This is Reverend Terry Power, and this is the Power... Oh, no, this isn't Power Hour. What night is it? We're under a shady tree tonight. Good grief.
And a shiny moon.
Yeah, a shiny moon, a shady tree, and it is now. We're going to hopefully get those intros worked on this weekend, but this is now Under a Shady Tree with Terry and Robin. My lady, my love, how are you tonight?
I'm very well. I had a really interesting day today, and... I definitely have a much bigger cup size than Reverend Onyx, so there's really no confusing us.
No. And more hair.
Yeah, way more hair. Sorry, Chuck, if you're listening.
Well, I don't think you'll mind about the cup size. I think it would be a little weird.
Yeah.
Yes, interesting day. Of course, I started the day in Allentown over at work. Got finished working a little early today, helped a friend move some stuff over to his new apartment, and then came home hurtling through the door, rushing to get everything on set up so we could do the show tonight. And you guys hand me the most amazing, beautiful, sweet little white kitten. It is now perched on the back of my chair, asleep.
It was unconscious asleep.
I'm moving my chair around, and he's there. He's just on my chair. He sat and watched while I logged in and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's tired and falling asleep, and he's literally perched on the back of my chair that's his place.
Yep.
So. Very cool, and you can tell our listeners all about what his coloration is, but to me, I see a mostly white cat.
Well, at this moment, he is mostly white. He is actually a fire point mutt, Siamese cat, if you will. He's got an orange splash on his nose and orange seal, like orange points, like a Siamese, on his ears and his tail, and he may break out in stripes, and he's got the beautiful blue eyes, and he's going to keep them. The whole litter is like that. We actually brought home two kittens today. One actually really looks like a Seal Point Siamese with the dark masked face, the blue eyes, the dark tipped ears and paws and tails. And but this one was just so striking looking. He's got that real Egyptian long-nosed face, and he's just regal in every aspect. And I couldn't leave him there. And I just knew in my heart when I saw him that you were going to love him, Terry. So I brought them both home. And our current cat, Toffee, has taken on the role of dad. He has been playing with them. He has not hissed at them. I am completely shocked because I've introduced kittens to cats before, and usually there's a few weeks of Mexican standoff. But there has been really none of that. I'm anticipating there may be something in the near couple of days. But this evening, he was romping around the living room playing with them, rolling them over on their back and chasing their tails and having a great time with them. I was completely blown away by how well he's accepting this. So it looks like it's going to be a happy ending for the kittens.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, this one, you know, I'm just excited that I now have, you know, I have an animal in the house that, you know, is my animal in the house for me to, you know, to hang out with and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. So I'm very excited about this.
You're going to have
to. While I'm not normally a cat person, this one may convert me.
You know, the dog, you may have an issue because the dog loves you beyond reason, and the dog may be jealous. You're going to have
to. But you've been Perry's dog, you know what I mean? So anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, welcome everybody, and welcome to a peek inside the inside our home and our life here.
As such as it is.
Always busy, always mildly crazy,
yeah.
But always full of love. And that's what really matters.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes a family.
Absolutely. And we do have that. We may not have a lot of other stuff, but we do have a lot of love in this house, which is nice.
Oh, he just woke up and about fell off.
I saw that. He woke up with a start and almost fell off the back of the chair. Silly, silly baby.
So, anyway, I understand that we have a topic for tonight.
Yeah.
I didn't get as many show promos done as I wanted because, of course, I was helping my friend move and, you know, being loyal and all that kind of stuff.
You're a good friend. You know you're a good friend when you actually will show up to help somebody move, because a lot of your friends will, oh, sorry, I'm busy that day, when you really have to move.
Yeah, really, really good friends will help you move the body.
That's right. So. Yes, exactly. The topic for this evening is how to deal with the loss of a coven or group or community, if you move, or if there's a big, you know, which unfortunately happens, you know, disagreement amongst people and the community sort of breaks apart, how to deal with that, how to go forward, how to get your feet back underneath you, and how to maybe help to form a better group or better community in your local area, if that's something that you are missing. So I know for myself, years ago, I had a group that I was part of, and it fell apart due to somebody else's actions, and they were very unfortunate actions, and as a result, it managed to sort of destroy that community that we had spent 10 years building, and really affected a lot of people's lives, even still today. And I mean, this is going back to 2006, and so it's, you know, it's been several years now. It's been almost 10 years, and there are still people who, when they see me someplace at an event or whatever, come up and ask me questions about it, and, you know, how did you deal with that? How it was so awful, and it is very difficult. Have you ever had to deal with anything like this, Tara?
Well, you know, I've moved around a lot because of my work. And, you know, I have built groups and then, you know, promoted people and built them up and then left them kind of as seeds and have planted seeds behind me as I have, you know, moved on to another job or another location. And so I seem to be the one, you know, moving a lot, and then I get somewhere and there's not a lot going on wherever I move. You know, moving to Barbados was a huge challenge. You know, there were a lot of spiritual people down there, but they didn't really have any kind of tradition or structure. And so, you know, I found a few people to start working with and, you know, ultimately initiated a couple of them. And while they've had issues since I've left, since I've been gone, they tend to work them out because they're sisters. You know, they're sisters now, and it's a small island, so it's not like there's a whole lot they can do about it. But, you know, and I trained people in Florida. I tend to train people wherever I go. I don't know, there's something when someone asks you that first question and you answer it, they tend to realize that maybe you've got something to share with them. And so I find myself doing a lot of teaching, and I have for, you know, 15 years now. So I find myself the one building new community when I move, rather than trying to find, you know, I tend to move to where there's not much going on.
Well, then you moved to the right place coming here. There's not much going on here, that's for sure. And we have talked about that, wanting to help build a local community. And it's, for both of us, it's a matter of time. We have so many other things that take up our time. But I'm sure we will get there. One of the things we have talked about is maybe putting on like a Pride Day kind of event, you know, a one-day picnic for the local people. I know there are pagans here. They just are in hiding because it's such a Christian area that people feel outnumbered, and there's a lot of misunderstandings still in this area.
Yeah, well, the thing is, now that there's, you know, three of us instead of just two, and now that there's a male witch in the area, I think that's going to change some of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's going to change some of the perception. And, you know, we've already begun the work. I mean, we had people up here for Midsummer.
Mm-hmm.
We're having people up this weekend, a couple of days from now,
mm-hmm.
To celebrate Lunasa.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're doing the work. We're beginning the work.
Mm-hmm.
Planting the seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all a matter of getting, you know, getting established, letting people see that we're here, and that we're going to be here. You know, we're not just going to show up and flash and then disappear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there is a lot of that. There's a lot of times, you know, that people don't, you know, things start up, people do things, and then they don't follow through, and, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, for myself, I just generally build wherever I go. You know, the exception was when I was in Atlanta, I was moving to Allentown. There was already a pretty good community there.
Mm-hmm.
And while I continued to do my own thing, I was to a certain degree included in the community. And, you know, I don't know. I didn't really do a whole lot of ritual with them, but I was part of some of what was going on. And they actually used the temple space at the farm for a couple of rituals when they needed a larger ritual space than they had. So, you know, so there was some building of community in, you know, in providing a space for others to feel comfortable. Even if they weren't part of my tradition and part of my working,
mm-hmm.
you know, allowing them to have that space,
mm-hmm.
and use that space, you know, help build community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed. That's one of the things that I feel very strongly about is trying to bring people together. But we are actually talking about how to deal with the loss of your community. I know that for me, I took a break. I took about 3 years off. And I had a lot of things happen to me right in that time period. 2005, my daughter was born. 2006, the MPA broke up. 2006, we also moved from New Jersey to here, to Pennsylvania. And then Jimmy, his health really seriously declined at that point. And then he passed in 2010. So I took those years off just to deal with raising my daughter, taking care of my husband at the same time. And, you know, it wasn't until after he passed that I really had the energy to want to get back into the community. So it took me a long time. Plus, I was grieving from losing him. But you go on. And that's really the thing. I mean, just because you have a blow like that, just keep going on. Get up every day. Reach out to your friends. Take the support that they offer. Take the help. Don't be one of those people who isolates yourself from your friends because you feel like you're so, you know, down that they're not going to want to be around you. That's really not giving your friends very much credit, honestly. So when you do suffer a loss to a community, reach out to the people who you were close to. And I bet they're feeling the same way that you are. See if you can reform something or form something new. When the Mid-Atlantic Pagan Alliance fell apart, probably about a year or two prior to that, there was another group in New Jersey that sort of just disintegrated for whatever reasons. And we had been somewhat close. It was one of the groups that we did a lot of work with. And some of the people now from that group and some of the people who are left over from the MPA joined together and created a new group called Woven Roots. And we do things on occasion. It's not as active a group as the MPA was, but we still get together and do things. And it kind of fills that void for us. So that's kind of good. And that's a way to do it, is to reach out to people who maybe were also left behind and see how they feel. Maybe you can make it work.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, forming something new, building from what fell apart, and that happens. That's part of life. That's part of growth. That kind of stuff happens, and then you build on it and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Loss of a group. I mean, when a group falls apart, it's like your family. It's like a divorce. I mean, it's like your whole family. Everything's changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the support that you were used to getting in one group is now gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a very it's a very painful experience to be, for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
And reaching out to other people and helping each other heal. Moving. I've moved a lot. I've made a lot of friends, and I've lost a lot of friends. I've experienced a lot of change in my life. And that has, I guess in some ways it's made me more self-reliant, but at the same time, I miss my friends in Barbados.
Oh, sure.
I miss some of the people I worked with in Florida. I miss some of the people from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see, some of the people from the old group that I used to, festival with over in Indiana. We got to, you got to meet some of them at Horn and Honey and meet some new people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, it's good to see those kind of people that are part of your past. And, yeah, I mean, there's a loss. There's a feeling of, you know, wanting to go home in some ways. But, of course, that doesn't really, you know, what it was isn't what it is now. You know, what it is now isn't what it was. So going back to it isn't going to be the same. It never is. But healing and helping each other to move on, that's the most positive thing you can do. And, you know, you and, you know, Lee and the others that formed Woven Roots helped each other heal.
Mm-hmm.
You helped each other through that experience and came out of it stronger. You know, four survivors.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and that is really the thing, is to not to give up, not to walk away. You know, one of the common things you see in the community is a teacher who, you know, you've respected for years and you've been taught by for years, and then all of a sudden they do or say something or are accused of something that's completely out of character, and, you know, your whole world falls apart because you've put this person up on this pedestal and you think they're so wonderful, and then it turns out, guess what, they're actually human and they make mistakes. And people get disillusioned and they walk away from their community because of it. Or, you know, instead of sitting down with that teacher and saying, hey, what is the truth? What happened? And hopefully they would come clean and say, yeah, you know what? I made a mistake. I did a stupid thing or whatever it is. And then you can decide what you want to do from that, but at least give them the opportunity to discuss it with you and see how they respond.
Yeah, because if we put all of our leaders up on pedestals, we tend to forget that everybody's a human being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and we all have our own faults and frailties.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, part of being a witch is trying to learn how to better ourselves. That includes our leaders.
Absolutely. And people are humans, and humans make mistakes. They do stupid things. They have drama in their lives that sometimes, create situations that makes them do things that they probably, you know, might not have, would have done otherwise. So you just have to remember that although they may be farther along on their spiritual path than you as the student, it doesn't make them better human beings or better people. They are still able to make mistakes. A case comes to mind of a couple I knew who were just, everybody thought they were wonderful. And they were, you know, high priest and priestess of a coven, and they just were awesome. And everybody was going to them to be taught, and it just seemed to be the thing to do. And then all of a sudden, the husband became ill, and it took its toll on their marriage, and it took its toll on the children, and she left him. Nobody could forgive her. He did. They became friends after some time, but everybody was appalled at what she had done. And, I mean, having been a caretaker for somebody that I loved, I can see how that would be very appealing. And I don't know what her reasons were, and I can't presume to know what her reasons were. But
they were, her decisions were not likely made in a vacuum either.
Exactly. You know, it can be very difficult, and I don't know all of the inside workings of why and how, but I was really kind of appalled at the time of how few people supported her in her decision. And I know from the outside it looks like she's a terrible person, but who knows? I don't know what was their relationship really like. So, and nobody bothered to ask her. And I wasn't personally that close to her, but I knew a lot of people who were. So, but nobody bothered to call her up and ask her, which I thought was kind of crappy. Instead, they went around, you know, oh, isn't it terrible? She ruined it, and she ruined it, and she ruined it. You don't know, you know? You really don't know that it was her fault alone.
Yeah. Because, you know, no decisions are made in vacuum. And that's the one thing I try to remind people of all the time, that what may appear to be a horrible decision wasn't made alone.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing...
Rarely do we make decisions all by ourselves.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is gathering information about whatever it is you're going to form an opinion about, whether it's some current event or a person's actions. Get some information. Don't just go on what you're being fed by either the media or by other people's gossip or by some stupid post on Facebook. Just do some research. I get so annoyed with people who, you know, make broad sweeping statements about things they know very little about. And then when you ask them, well, where did you hear that? What's your source for that? Oh, well, I read it on Facebook. Are you kidding me? That's what I want to say. Are you kidding me? So.
That's the best you got.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't even bother to look it up on a website, you know, or two or three or four or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, it kills me on a daily basis.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so look, we're at about 25 minutes after the bottom of the hour. Why don't we go ahead and take a short break and listen to a song? And I've got a particular song that came to my mind as we were having this conversation. I'm not quite sure why, but I'm hoping that someone out there in the listening audience understands why this song is being played tonight, because if you do, it's probably sent for you. So anyway, we're going to play The Pipes of Pan by Darv the Bard, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Stick around.
Sacred land of old. of pine on the warm summer breeze. If you can you feel him deep within you as he penetrates the land? May blossom to the bee, the nectar of love is on her skin. Heat returns as passions rise and Beltane's dance begins once again. All of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land? Oh, all of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land?
One power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
To Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you, Virginia. Yeah. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. And don't get confused by the intro or the rejoin. This is Terry and Robin under a shady tree. So tonight we have been talking about the loss of a coven, the loss of community when things happen in our world. And Robin was talking with me during the break about, you know, another kind of loss, and that's losing a coven member to crossing over into that new existence. And so did you want to share some things about that, my darling?
Yeah, yep. I have had elders of my coven, people I considered mentors, maybe even people who weren't necessarily part of my coven but were sort of unofficial members of the coven. They came to a lot of coven functions. They would hang out with us when we would get together. It's always hard, and it always leaves a hole. And there are always times where you think, oh, I would love to talk to that person, and that person isn't there. So it makes it very difficult. And for me, my coven really is my family, and all the members of my family live very far from me, so it's not like I can just hop in the car and drive over to see my mom, you know, in 15 minutes. She lives in Florida and I'm in Pennsylvania. Same thing with my brothers. You know, my brother's in South Carolina and the other one's in Florida as well. So it's not easy. And so the people who are near and dear to me are here in Pennsylvania or in New Jersey. And losing some of those people from time to time, it's always emotional, and you're not only as a high priestess in that particular group, you're not only grieving for yourself, but for your coven members, and then you have to counsel them as well. And it's funny how through counseling other people and hearing them express their grief and talking to them, you're also in some ways counseling yourself and talking to yourself and telling yourself the same things that you're telling them. So sometimes it can be good to have a group to talk to. And I know that, you know, obviously that's what those grief and loss groups are based on, when people lose loved ones. I would recommend that. I would recommend everybody sit down and talk about it, and do something to honor that person and to have a ritual and acknowledge it. I mean, all too often we lose elders and, you know, the ritual you hear is, oh, did you hear so-and-so passed away? And that's it. And you might go to a service for them, and then that's it. Do something either privately or with a group of friends who knew them the way you did, and have a ritual. And, you know, if they smoked cigars, smoke a cigar. If they drank rum, drink rum. I mean, do whatever it is that, you know, is going to honor them in your eyes and help you to remember them. And tell stories about them at every coven gathering. Remember them.
Yeah, because once they cross over, they become one of our ancestors.
That's right. Absolutely.
You know, ancestors of our lines, ancestors. It doesn't, you know, ancestors isn't necessarily blood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those people that have been meaningful to us in this incarnation
mm-hmm.
are still available to us.
Mm-hmm.
When we do ancestor work, they're still available to us. And their wisdom is not lost as long as we maintain that relationship,
mm-hmm.
that communication, and as long as we remember them, they're still with us. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, in all of our rituals, you know, I did this before Robin and I came together, and she did it before we came together as well. You know, we call on the ancestors in our rituals. Not just in the on-air rituals, but in our in-person ritual, calling the ancestors to be with us, to share with us, to guide us, keep those people a part of our circles
mm-hmm.
and a part of our lives.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny.
So remembering them is the most important thing. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I tell my daughter all the time, you know, someday when I'm long gone, you can, you know, be cooking with your kids or your daughter and say, my mom and I always did, you know, we always baked cookies together, or she always told me these stories about Mrs. Pigglewiggle, or she whatever it is that we've done that has always been a thing that we do together. I have a song I sing her every night before she goes to bed, and I've always told her, someday you're going to sing these songs to your kids, and you'll always remember me that way. Because let's face it, I'm 53 and I have a 9-year-old. So, you know, I'm probably not going to live to see my grandkids. I mean, it would be nice if I did. but my plan is for her to grow up, go to college, have a career, and then have kids. So hopefully, you know, I probably won't be here for very long, if at all, by that time. I figure she's going to be at least 30, 35.
Well, I figure she's going to be doing something. She's going to be raising her children. They're going to do something, and she's going to look at them and say, for the love of all that is holy. And
yeah.
And wherever I am in that moment, I will hear it and know that I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's already picking up on
yes.
some of my sayings and my mannerisms. And
she has actually said that to Zach when he really frustrates her. And it's the funniest thing. I just die.
Yeah. Yeah, he, you know, remembering our ancestors and honoring them, remembering the lessons they taught us, passing that along, you know, passing that to others, passing that to the next generation, the next group, as we, you know, as we move through life, you know, the older ones pass and they pass the torch to us, and at some point we pass. You know, we pass and then the torch gets handed off again.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that is,
you know, that is the nature of the wheel of life, the circle of life.
That's right.
And honoring that is the best thing that we can do.
Yeah, and accepting that and knowing that it is part of life and not fighting it, fearing it, or, you know, making it more dramatic than it needs to be. And I think I've explained before on the air how I feel that when we were inside our mother's womb, all we knew was that darkness, the sound of her heart, the water. That was our world. And how frightening that must have seemed to come from the womb into the light and make that journey. And now here we are, you know, as we mature, we're only making a new journey from this place. Just like we came from the womb into a new place, we're coming from this place into another place. And it is not so much a death, but a birth into whatever waits beyond this doorway. So I try to explain it to people as a birth and into a new path rather than a death. And yeah, it doesn't mean we don't miss them.
Well, I tend to think of the other side as summer vacation.
I certainly hope so.
You know, each incarnation is, according to my cosmology and my understanding of the way it all works. And, of course, this is all, you know, speculative based on our own experiences and our communication with the divine and all of that. But from what I perceive, we come into each incarnation with a set of lessons to learn, predetermined. We choose this because we cannot experience in the spiritual all that we can experience in the physical.
Mm-hmm.
We must incarnate into these shells to experience emotional love.
Mm-hmm.
All of the emotions, you know, the entire emotional plane, the physical plane, the intellectual plane, these don't exist in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We have to incarnate into these shells to experience and learn all there is to be about, you know, all there is, you know, about being a human.
Mm-hmm.
So we keep doing this. And we keep learning lessons. And if we learn the lessons in this incarnation, then we don't have to repeat them.
Mm-hmm.
And if we learn the lesson early when it comes to us, then we get a whole new set of lessons in this incarnation. But this is the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
This is the school year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we pass from this incarnation, hopefully learning as much about being a human as we can, and learning as many lessons as possible so that we don't have to repeat the lessons. Because I know everybody listening to my voice has had the same thing happen to them over and over and over, and it's not until you do something different that the pattern is broken. And that's the lesson that's being taught. We're not punished by the universe. We're given opportunities for growth and enlightenment. So, you know, in my opinion or in my understanding, you know, we pass from this incarnation and we go on summer break. We assimilate, we relax, we learn, you know, process what we've learned, determine what we want to learn in the next incarnation, and then we choose the circumstances of our incarnation to give us the best chance to learn those, and here we go again.
Exactly.
Down the tunnel and you know, into the waiting hands of a midwife or a doctor or mm-hmm. someone like that.
Absolutely. And you know, and that really is what it comes down to. And the grieving process, whether you've, you know, lost your community because you've moved or there was a falling out of some sort, it's always sad. And you should always grieve for it. And grief is a stage. And it is something that you need to embrace and go through. And there's always going to be difficulty there. And that's why if you are in a place right now where you have a great community, really cherish it, develop it, enjoy it, be a part of it, because they seem to come and go. And that seems to be the natural ebb and flow. When we were in Indiana, I was so impressed with the community there. They were really pulling together and working hard together to create this beautiful space and a great community. And it just was such a nice spirit, and it was so good to see. It really gave me hope and heart to see it again. And it inspired me as well to want to do stuff again, in a public way. And that's maybe another thing, is to try to find inspiration when you've lost your community from something, to go back out and get involved and do it again. And you're not going to do it again right away, probably, but, you know, I know that was why we formed Woven Roots. It's because we all missed it very much.
Yeah, and when someone leaves or someone passes or, you know, whatever happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the important thing is to remember that we're not mourning so much for them because they're in summer break now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're in a place. They're in a better place. I mean, as cokey and hackneyed as that sounds,
mm-hmm.
We're the ones left behind. We're the ones missing them. You're the ones that turn to say something to our friend, and they're not there now.
Mm-hmm.
We need to remember to comfort and be there for the others.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, sometimes the act of being there for someone else mm-hmm. is its own sense of, you know, brings its own sense of healing for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. Gosh, we're close to 10 minutes away from the top of the hour. So I thought that it would be kind of cool, because we have in the chat room tonight a person who has joined us on the management team.
That's
cool. She is in as co-host tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And has joined the management team. She's looking around a little bit at how the behind-the-scenes working of the switchboard and all that goes on. But we want to publicly thank and welcome Nivasi for joining the management team here at Spiritual Unity Radio Network.
Yay.
And for assisting us. She brings some skills with meeting people and contacts to the table, and has become an incredible resource. I'm sure that will grow and in time, and she will become an invaluable. If she's not already, she will certainly grow to be an invaluable member of the management team here.
Yeah, I'd say she's already pretty making a wonderful impact.
She's certainly making an impact, and it's very positive. And so I thought tonight would be a good time to recognize her, since she's in, you know, in the chat room as co-host and starting to learn the ropes, as it were. And or in her case, I think relearn, because she had some experience with Blog Talk Radio in the past. Although they've updated the software a few times since she was in last. And but it's good to have Niv on the team. And I'm just excited about where this is going to take us and the opportunities that she brings for the station to grow as well. And so I wanted to publicly gush on her and picture her sitting, looking all shy and red-faced while I'm talking, and I wish I could see her while I'm saying all of this. I'm sure the phone will ring as soon as we log off, and I will hear all about it. But that's okay. I try to gush on the people that deserve it, and the people that make what we're doing here. Robin has been talking a lot about building community, and I spoke about it earlier, but that's what we're doing here. Spiritual Unity Radio Network has become a community. We do our own rituals here on Tuesday night. We will do, we will do the Sabbath and the full moons and a quarterly dark moon ritual on Tuesday nights. We share our understanding of things on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. We try to educate, we try to inform, we try to give people a safe place to come and be a pagan with us. You don't have to agree with us. Robin and I don't always agree with each other.
Is true.
And we will not agree with each other publicly on the air. That doesn't mean that we're not in love with each other, and it doesn't mean that we don't build community just because you disagree with someone. There's going to be different experiences. You know, I've got 50-something years of my own path and my own life experiences, and as we blend our traditions and our belief structures, something new comes of it. But that what we were before and the old doesn't go away. And that's the way it's going to be when you build community. If you build on the strengths of the people around you and include the best people you can find and surround yourself with the best people you can find, like our addition of Niv, then you build and grow. And you don't always agree, but that doesn't matter because we're an experiential thing. And that's the one thing we've got to remember, is that we are not a revealed faith. We don't have a book somewhere that says, this is the way to be pagan. Thanks for playing. Doesn't exist, and if it does exist, it's worthless because we experience. We experience our faith. We experience our connection to the divine, and it's personal, and it's wonderful, but it is very personal and it's very individual, and it is unique to each of us. Even two people working with the same deity form, the experience is going to be different. So, you know, expecting something for people not to disagree is pointless and silly. Of course we're going to disagree. We're going to have different experiences. I'm going to see Bridget in a different way than Robin does. And that's fine. That's cool. That's the variety and the spice that makes our experiential religions so wonderful. So with all of that said, I'm not quite sure where exactly I was going. I think I'm just going to stop and tell people how to get in touch with us. Wow. So the easiest way to find any of us, any host, panelist, staff member at the Spiritual Unity Radio Network is to email us. The email address is surn.org@gmail.com. And please put something in the subject line telling us who it is you're trying to get in touch with.
Mm-hmm.
If you love something we've done and you want more of it, tell us. If you hate something we've done and never want to hear it again, let us know that too. I don't know that it's going to change it, but at least let us know what you think. Again, you don't have to agree with us. We'd love to hear from people that have a differing opinion. That's what makes things wonderful. For finding my lady, the best or easiest way to find either of us is to go to Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings on Facebook, and you can email our joint email address at littlestonebridgepathworkings@gmail.com. Her Facebook page is Robin A. McKean, and then there's also a Facebook page for her Friday night show, that is Spiritual Unity Radio Network, or Spiritual Unity Radio Network, good grief, Spiritual Wellness Physical Health Facebook page. For myself, you can find my friends page. I'm Terry Power. Not hard to find. Shows me as owner of Spiritual Unity Radio Network and shows me in North Copley, Pennsylvania. You can go to my public figure page, Rev Terry Power HP, or you can follow me on Twitter at Rev Terry Power HP. So that's about it, guys. It's been an interesting episode. It has touched on topics that I felt myself getting emotional a couple of times, and I need to pull that out and hold it up to the light and examine it. So this episode has given me something to think about and to analyze. And so I hope that the rest of you got something out of it. Let's see, Tuesday night, we are doing Lunasa ritual, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, we will be doing the ritual.
So tune in on Tuesday night for our on-air Lunasa ritual. Next Thursday, I'm not even sure what the topic is yet. What are you doing? Oh, see, tomorrow night is a canned best of episode of Spiritual Wellness Physical Health.
Because
it's my lady's birthday, and I'm taking her out for a special evening. So you will be getting a best of episode. It will be from a couple of months ago when Ed Fitch was Robin's guest on Friday night. So it will be a repeat of the Ed Fitch show. Quite an interesting man. And if you missed it the first time around, tune in. You should enjoy it. He's definitely got some opinions, and he's an interesting person to listen to.
Yeah, I know Lisa and I really enjoyed interviewing him. He was amazing on the air and a lot of fun to talk to. So I know it was a fun show.
And the following Tuesday night, let's see, next week is Lunasa ritual. The following Tuesday night, I believe, is the High Priestess card.
Yes.
As we continue our series on the major arcana. No, I'm wrong.
The Empress.
The 11th of August is Dark Moon.
Oh, we're doing the Dark Moon first.
It's our Dark Moon ritual. So we're going to actually have three rituals in a row on Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for a community, if you're isolated out by yourself, or if you just want to join us anyway, join us on Tuesday nights, because you can always find the full moons and the Sabbath, and again the occasional dark moon celebrated. Then it will be the following Tuesday night that we discuss the High Priestess card.
Is it the High Priestess or the Empress?
The High Priestess.
High Priestess. Okay.
Yeah, the Empress is next after that.
Okay.
the magician, the high priestess, then the empress, and then the emperor.
Okay.
So anyway, I want to thank everybody for being with us. Thanks again to Niv for joining us on the staff.
Yay, Niv.
And let's see, I see somebody in the queue, but we're at the end of the show. You know what? You want to go ahead and take a call real quick?
Sure, why not?
No, we'll stick around for a few extra minutes. We'll take a call. And let's see, area code 203, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Caroline.
Hi, Caroline.
Happy How
are
birthday,
you?
Robin.
Oh,
I'm
thank
good.
You.
I just wanted to add to the conversation about long living. My grandmother is going to be 102 in about 3 months.
Wow.
And
that's
really very
impressive.
Dear to my house, my heart. So... pretty much everything you talked about definitely spoke to me.
Well, that's wonderful. That's good to hear, Caroline. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
Well, glad that the episode is meaningful.
Definitely.
That's good. And I will be in touch. And thanks for calling in. I appreciate that.
Of course.
That's very sweet of you.
You two have a great night.
Oh, we will. We will. And I'll talk to you Wednesday, I believe.
Okay. Sounds
okay.
Great.
All right.
Okay.
Caroline, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Was there anything else? Was there anything else you wanted to say?
I can't wait to keep listening and find out more. I really. I think Carrie said, you know, if you feel alone and kind of. Kind of hit me a little, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if we can't fix that together. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, have a great night. Okay.
Okay. You too.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling me, Carolyn. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good
night.
All right. Very cool.
That's Caroline. She's one of my new clients. She's been coming for a couple weeks, and she's just a great lady, and I'm so happy that we met. It was actually a chance meeting, and she's got beautiful girls that are just right around the same age as my daughter, and I can just tell that she's going to become a friend as well as a client. There, sometimes, you know, you know this person's going to just be strictly a client, and then there are other people you're like, we're going to hang out. And she's one of those people I can just tell, so.
All right. Well, very cool. I'm glad that you got that call and an extra birthday wish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a surprise.
I think it's about time to say goodnight to all of our friends and family in our community out there. So I'd like to wish everyone a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night and blessed be.
Blessed be all. Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.